grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Two texts from the Gospel for this day, St. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 31 to 33. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written of the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and on the third day he will rise. And from the epistle for this day, the 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 12th and the 13th verse. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I suspect that almost everyone has been horrified by the events of this past week in Europe. The spectacle of one sovereign nation deliberately attacking another sovereign nation. I, for one, had assumed, perhaps naively, that kind of thing had become a thing of the past. In his book, Reveries on the Art of War, Maurus of Saxony, an illegitimate son of Elector August the Strong, wrote, "The human heart is the starting point of all matters pertaining to war. The human heart is the starting point of all matters pertaining to war." We can only turn in fervent prayer to God, of whom the author of the 46th Psalm says, "He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Today is the last Sunday before Lent begins, and today we hear those words of Jesus which tell of our Lenten journey. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written of the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and on the third day he will rise." Yes, at Golgotha, the place of a skull, that little rise in the ground outside the gates of Jerusalem, we see only too clearly what human beings are capable of. And we also see God, of whom the apostle and evangelist John writes, "God is love." We see that when God, who is love, came into the world he had made, human beings rejected that love and killed him. St. John puts it so plainly when, in the prologue to his gospel, he says of the Father's eternal Son and Word, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. If you want to know what human beings are capable of, look at the cross of Jesus. And if you want to know the mind and the heart of God, look at the cross of Jesus, and see there that love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. The words of St. Paul, which we heard just a few moments ago, have, I think rightly, been called a hymn to love. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul wrote, "All scripture is inspired by God," and so we Christians believe. In the creed we say that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets, and when we say that, we are confessing our faith in the inspiration of all scripture. But of course, every reader of Holy Scripture knows that there are passages there which are very ordinary and even very disturbing, yet they too are inspired. But it seems to me that in the words of St. Paul in the epistle for this day, we can almost feel the breath of the Holy Spirit at work in them. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Some interpreters have suggested that these words of Paul in fact reflect his own conduct and behavior in all his overwhelming responsibilities and sufferings in his work as one sent by Christ as an apostle to preach the gospel to Jew and Gentile alike. But Paul could only do that. He could only be that way because he himself had been touched by the perfect love of the Savior. And surely it is in the Savior alone that we find the perfect embodiment of these words. St. John puts it so simply, we love because he first loved us. Paul goes on to say, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. And we can also surely add, our love is imperfect, as long as we live in this fallen world. But it will not always be so. For as St. Paul writes, when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. Even as I have been fully understood. Yes, in this life, our love remains imperfect, as indeed our knowledge remains imperfect. Our knowledge of the world, our knowledge of God, our knowledge of ourselves. But I, for one, find great comfort in these words of St. Paul when he says, now, meaning in this world, I know in part, then, meaning in the world to come, I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. Even as I have been fully understood by God. Isn't it true that there's something that remains mysterious, even in those we know and love the most? And isn't it also true that we remain something of a puzzle, even to ourselves? And that is why I find such comfort in the inspired words of the Apostle, I have been fully understood. Understood by God, who knows me better than I know myself, and loves me still. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible.